Blog Talk Radio.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Just kind of think about that as you're going through your day to day. And welcome to the conversation. Wow, what a rough couple days. A good friend of mine's husband passed away. And just kind of thinking about life and how I always tell people, cherish the moment, you know. To always tell people you love them. Don't just sit there and go, you know what, you know, always say you love them, always give them, always do something, let them know you're there. And that's how it is. So, you look at it from that standpoint and you go, well, that's kind of where I think we need to be, you know. Always tell people, heckle them, always give them a hard time because you love them, because you never know when you're going to be able to do it again. You know, my mom bought like $60 worth of shrimp because who knows if tomorrow we'll be here, because you never know. I had a great time last night because I don't know if you watch The Blaze, if you're a subscriber to The Blaze, you gotta watch the replay of the. They did like a State of the Union spoof, you know, like they did the, you ever seen the show Mystery Science Theater? They did like State of the Union Theater 2015, and it had Stu and Pat and Glenn and Obama was speaking, and they were like commenting and mocking them, and when, okay, fact check, $20 to anyone who can tell me how many lies Obama actually said. How many lies? The whole speech is the correct answer. The whole speech. No, but this is what gets me, and this is the truth. You could write a State of the Union address. You could have John McCain say it, or George Bush say it, and you could have Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton say the exact same speech and the exact same teleprompter. And guess what? One would be praised for saying some of the same things, another one would be getting scorned for. That's just how it is. That's just this political system. Show you a little statistic here. Okay, Bill Clinton averaged 70 million views approximately for his State of the Union addresses, 46% average. Because everyone starts high, and then when they realize they're full of, you know, when they need to be changed for the same reason as a baby's diaper, because they're full of it, he averaged 47 million. Bush had about a 65 to 64 million high, and he averaged 43 million in his State of the Union addresses. Obama's high was 42 million, and he's averaged 38 million. And they all go down. They all go down once people start to realize that politicians are like diapers. They need to be changed often and for the same damn reason. You know, well, then why don't you wake up? And if you take any president and his State of the Union start to go down in viewership, doesn't that make you sit there and go, wait a minute here, is something wrong in this world? Huh? Why is your viewership going down? Why? Why is it going down? And why doesn't things change? Why don't they say, okay, well, you know what? Let me try an independent. Let me try a Tea Party person. Because maybe they might change something. We're not going to have Democrat, Republican, Democrat, Republican. So that's why a lot of people, because Ivan, okay, we're stuck with Obama. Maybe he'll do what he said. Maybe he'll be a transparent president. Maybe he'll try to get rid of these lobbyists. No, well, that's a lie, but you know, maybe he will try to cut the deficit. Yep, he will. He spent more money on a dinner in Hawaii than he's proposing cutting the deficit. See, that's their paycheck. He wants everyone to be created equal. But then why doesn't Congress have to be treated equally as an American citizen? All these congressmen and senators use their lobbying powers to get millions of dollars of contracts for their buddies. I couldn't do that. I couldn't insider trade. They do that stuff. Oh, let's see, I'm not fishing, so. Heck, what do you know? I don't know. I just makes you drink. It does. That's why I drank last night, CC and Coke. Him and Glenn Beck are the only way I can get through a state union address. What do you think, John Boehner, if you saw in the thing? He had all kinds of, like, 25 little bottles and stuff. It's all, yeah, maybe in a silver container, but you think Joe Biden was drinking water? No, I guarantee it. Moonshine or some sort of bathtub gin. Oh, crap. Obama's got to speak again. Okay. Yo, Jim, what's up? Yeah, I need some of your stuff, man, your bathtub gin, yeah. I got another state union to go to. You got it, Biden. Oh, Lord. I mean, that State of the Union address for, like, Boehner and Biden have to be like an NFL announcer calling a 64-3 game and having to stay there. You realize that the people watching this, no, they don't have to watch it. They can flip the channel. We still gotta commentate this damn fucking game. Okay, folks, you're on the air. Mics are hot. You're going on the air in 5, 4, 3... And welcome back to Foxborough Stadium. As it's 64-3, the New England Patriots are wailing over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome back. Thank God she got the Jack Daniels once. Oh, you know what I mean? That's what it must be like. I don't know how you can. And then they like fake clap like. I mean, seriously, like last year, someone goes, well, how can you stadium address when you didn't watch it all? I said, you don't have to watch it all to realize that just in the snippets last year, Obama basically said point blank, Nancy Pelosi, you're worthless to me. Harry Reid, I don't need you. John Boehner, I don't care. Pass whatever I want. And they cheered him on, the Democrats. I don't know anyone that's going to go to their work and their boss is going to come out and say, well, we've got these new robots that are going to be able to paint the cars 10 times faster, do it way more efficient. All you 100,000 painters are going to have to look for new work. They're not going to be cheering on the boss. That's if I go ahead with this, when I'm looking at doing these robot painters. They're not going to be cheering them on. They're going to be like saying, okay, we need to up our game. We need to show them that we can do it. We can do what a robot can't do. But that's what happened at last year's State of the Union address. People were cheering the president on when he was telling them that, I don't need you. You're worthless to me. You mean nothing to me. How can you cheer that on? I really don't get it. I don't understand. You know, where is... NASCAR has it. Brand loyalty. You get your name out to the racetrack, and let me tell you, if NASCAR fans, if they love it, you will go through the roof because they will spread the word. Man, you got to try this new Kingsford Hickory smoked wood chips. I'm telling you what, they're like Kingsford, but they last 5 times longer. You can smoke, you can do all kinds, you can grill for a long, you know, whatever. You get your name out there. If, you know, what does any of these parties stand for anymore? What's their loyalty? What do they stand for? what does anybody feel? Where is the integrity anymore in government? There's not. Obama, like they said on the Blaze Network, can float over and no one would say anything. Fox News would probably be the only person that would say, well, you know, do you really believe that he floated over? I don't believe that, but whatever. I mean, you want to say he floated over, well, he floated over, you know. No one else would cover it. Like I alluded to earlier, you can have the same speech read by two different people, one a Republican, one a Democrat, and they would praise the Republican, but scorn the Democrat. Oh, wait, that switch, that reverse thing. But they would read the same thing. It's, just go on, just look it up. There's videos on YouTube where they'll show, like, here's a Republican saying something that a Democrat said, and the Republican's getting scorned for it, and you never hear anything about the Democrat saying it. ISIS has doubled their area of control since we started bombing. Doubled. Obama didn't mention that. Let's just say for a second that we are the world's leader in wind energy. I know we are, because Obama's full of hot air. How do you think they get all those hot air balloons up in the air? They use Obama. Okay, just go into this guy's thing and do a 5-minute speech. Should be enough to get it started, and then we can use our torch the rest of the way. But, okay, if we are the leader in wind power, look it up. We only produce 4% of our energy from wind. Coal is 60%. Okay, if you want to use solar power, that's great. Show me where solar and wind power will get up to 60% of the U.S.'s energy. You get it up to where it produces that much energy, I'll sit down and I'll talk with you. Don't think it's going to work, because look at Solyndra, the billions they were given, and guess where they are. Yeah. To me, I don't even think Solyndra was real. I think it was just a way for them to pawn off money to people as a kickback. That's just my opinion, but what do I know? I'm just some low-rate radio show host. But, I mean, seriously. It just drives me to trench. I mean, it's like Obama has people in his administration, females nonetheless, that make less. But we need to make sure that everyone is paid equally. Well, why doesn't he make sure, since he has executive order, that his people are paid equally? Okay? Seriously. Start with your own mouth, Mr. President. If you're going to say something, do it. If you want everyone to be paid equally, then why don't you pay your own people equally to begin with? If you're really going to cut the deficit in half, then why does Michelle Obama have 75 million aides? And okay, well, you know, this person does her daughter's nails. That person does that daughter's nails. And, you know, da-da-da. Why don't you become a mother and take care of your kids instead of having 75 aides that help out and do it all? You know? Why don't you walk the walk? That's what I would tell if I saw the business. I want to see you walk the walk, because you've talked it. Let me see it. Let me see you do what you said. It ain't going to happen. Muscle. And what was he proposing a lot last night? Universal everything. Well, pretty soon, you're going to be strapped to the hilt, because you're going to have to, by law, do 75 million things just to have an employee. Well, you have to be able to provide diapers in case they take their kid to work, and, you know, you have to have a daycare in case they can't take their kid to daycare and they need a place to put their kid, so you're going to have to build a daycare center, and then you're going to have, like, a pediatrician on staff just in case something happens to them. And then you're going to have liability insurance in case they get hurt, because you can get sued. And then you're going to have, you know, on and on and on and on. All because you have to have free everything. Oh, let's just have colleges be free. So everyone can get a degree. So everyone can try to come out and be the CEO right out of college. That'd be just wonderful. Because I've got a degree, so I shouldn't be a lowman on the totem pole. Really? Folks, I took the job I took in the very beginning for one simple reason. Why? I get sick leave. I get paid vacation. Very good paid vacation, I might add. I get dental insurance, health insurance, vision insurance, 401k. I have like life in case I die. I get like 50 grand. I won't, but someone will. Melissa, you'll get that. Hopefully you'll never have to use that. But that's why I took the job. If we listen to what Obama wants, I'll just go work at McDonald's. I'll get just the same benefits. Well, I'll get more money. I'll get just the same benefits. I'll get everything given to me. What's the incentive to work? I know people that took a third shift to get a certain amount of money so that they can do that, so that they can get paid a certain wage. Yeah, I'm gonna go in at 11 o'clock and work till 9 o'clock at night so I can get a certain wage. Well, I'm going to go in at 1 o'clock and work till 1 in the morning and I'm going to get a certain wage. Well, what's going to happen if you're going to pay people that work at McDonald's more than that? Well, why would I want to work one-to-one when someone's making more than that as a burger flipper from 8 to 5? I just want to remind you, this half an hour is brought to you by Can of Whoop-Ass, brought to you by the makers of Haterade. Haterade, and you just want to be pissed off. Haha, just kidding. I just have to laugh about things. Because that's where they want this country to go. You have no degree, but they want to make people, well, you know, sorry, but McDonald's was where I went to learn how to clock in every day at a certain time and do a certain task. And know that, hey, guess what? Someone in Anchorage, Alaska is making a burger just like I am, and I'm in Lafayette, Indiana. I wasn't planning on going to McDonald's to get a job so I could live the rest of my life and feed a family of four off of it. Well, I can see that if you want to be like a general manager of a store and then maybe, you know, oversee five McDonald's and be like an executive and oversee five or six McDonald's and travel, you know, to the five different McDonald's and, you know, do corporate site work. But to be someone that cleans the fryers, should you really be paying a salary to provide for a family of 20 or 10 or 5 or whatever? Okay, there is 84% of the people in the workforce, 84% in 99. Now it's 80%. People have just given up looking for work. That's why the unemployment, if they calculate the unemployment rate like they did when Bush was in office, they did it a little bit different. They did it a little bit different during Clinton. And if you go all the way back to the way they did the unemployment rate when Reagan was president, Ronald Reagan, if they did the same unemployment, it'd be so high. But they don't do that. They don't calculate all the millions that have given up looking for work, because that would make the unemployment rate look bad. But I guarantee you, if the Republican was in the office right now, they'd be doing it and they'd be counting all those people. Because they got to make the Republican look bad. They got to make one party look good and one party look bad. Even though, and I've said this before in the program, we're a Boeing 747 heading straight for the Sears Tower. Okay, imagine that. Okay, we're going to go back to Barney. We're going to be like Barney and Friends. We're going to go and make-believe land, okay? We're going to be a Boeing 747 and put every American on the plane. Take Mitt Romney, take John McCain, take John Boehner, take Hillary Clinton, take Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, Barack Obama, you name it. Except for Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, probably take anybody on in the government right now in D.C., have them be the pilot of that plane. Which one do you think would kick it out of autopilot, and steer us clear from slamming us into the Sears Tower and killing us all in Chicago? Well, you want to know the answer? I'll tell you the answer. None of them. None of them would. They're all getting us to the same place. There is no two parties. There's one party. The government. Why do you think Mike Lee and Ted Cruz are being ridiculed? Because they're against the establishment. Mike Huckabee is not running to become president. There's no way in a million years he'll become president. He is running because some conservatives are going to vote for him, and it's going to divide the vote up so that it's going to be harder for someone like a Mike Lee or a Ted Cruz to get in. Because some people are going to vote for, well, I don't know anyone who'd vote for Jeb Bush, but it's going to divide whoever, they're trying to divide up the conservative vote so that they can keep the established GOP in there and all those corrupt buddies. It's what it is. It's what it is. And it just, you know, when our people, and I guess what I try to get across on this show is, like someone goes, oh, you watch that Doomsday or Glenn Beck? I'm like, well, what do you, explain Doomsday to me. Explain to me what you mean, like a fearmonger. So if he was a talk show host in Greece, but is he supposed to like lie and say everything's going to be great and wonderful when the country is financially falling apart? When 90% of what he said is come true and the other 10% is actually worse than he said it would be? He's not a fearmonger. He's just seeing what he's seeing, being shown video and say, well, what does this guy holding this flag? What does that flag mean? Well, that flag means Islamic State, you know. This is so true. When you take people from America, young girls that are going over to be with ISIS, and in Australia, girls being taken over to ISIS, and what is their luring tactic? They're about chopping heads off. Something is wrong when you have beautiful girls leaving everything they have to go to an oppressive country that hates women, and they're going to get their heads, they're going to chop off heads. It's just nuts. It really, really is nuts. Man, I'm just like I tell people, you know. Know your facts. I'd be praising the man too if I didn't know that 4% of the energy comes from wind. If I didn't know that the economy's not better, it's worse. If I didn't have somebody that has a business that the insurance has doubled, that they have to pay for their employees, I may not steal. If I didn't have a cousin that lost insurance because of Obamacare, I may not have seen some of this stuff. But when real-world things happen, and what was funny is when he kind of got laughed, well, now I have no more campaigns to run, Obama said this. No, now I have no more campaigns to run. No, he's just going to go out there and he's going to fly his jet around and he's going to campaign for all these things that he wants to get done. Why don't you take what you want to get done, put it on C-SPAN, word for word, like you said, let us view it as a nation, put it up on the internet so we can read the bill ourselves and we can say, yes, I support this, no, I don't, and let Congress and Senate debate it. Saturday Night Live did the greatest thing when they did the Schoolhouse Rocks. On just a bill, only a bill on Capitol Hill. I'm a bill. I get taken to the Senate and the Congress, and they vote on me. And then when they vote on me, if it passes, I go to the president's desk. So what are you? I'm an executive order, and I'm pretty much done. See, son, there's a faster way to get things done. It's called an executive order. You know, but it's funny, but it's sad because it's the truth. He's going to fly all around. Well, we need to pass this. We need, well, you got executive order. Just pass it. He's bought a house in D.C., so he's planning on staying there for something. Anywho. Wow. Enough of that. But I just want people to think, you know, I have friends that are like, oh, I watched that speech over and over again, and I just, it was just the greatest. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But the problem is I know so many people that you can show them stuff, and they still don't ever believe you. I showed this guy a video. Well, me and Barack Obama, yeah, we went back to his home country of Africa, Kenya, to the country of Africa, and what we did was, see, over there, AIDS is kind of rampant, and he had AIDS testing done to prove that there's nothing to be ashamed of, that you can have AIDS testing done, and it's because I guess over there, you know, if you have AIDS testing, they assume you have it, and it's, you know, and he just wanted to show people that there's nothing to be ashamed of about having AIDS testing done, you know, and we went to his home country of Kenya, Africa, you know. Do you really believe that? No, I don't believe it. Michelle said it, so I guess I don't believe it. You know? Obama said it, so no, I don't believe it. You know, like I said in the beginning, you know, you can have the same State of the Union address read by a Republican and a Democrat, and you would ridicule the one. You would say all this. You would fact check everything about the Republican. And, well, that's a lie. But the Democrat, you would just, oh, no, see, look at how great the country is. Well, did you fact check it? Why do we need to? Obama said it has to be true. But, you know, take a Democrat and fact check them. Take a Republican and fact check them. Don't just take anyone's word for anything. Like going back, don't take my word for it. Look at that. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. And thank God for that, you know, State of the Union mystery theater thing that Glenn did, because I was in a crappy mood yesterday with all that happened the night before. And that just made my day. And on to some disturbing news. If you haven't heard the rumors going around Old Trafford, Van de Gaal is looking at getting rid of Gabby De Gea and replacing him with Victor Valdez. Nothing against Victor Valdez. He's a great goalie. He's great. He's incredible. But wait a minute here. Didn't Victor Valdez coming in say that De Gea was the best goalie in the world? Not Premier League, not FA Cup, not Champions League, not La Liga, the world, the best. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And we're going to get rid of him. Granted, Van de Gaal wants a crap ton of money for him, like $50 million and a trade. So he wants a lot of money. He's not just going to let him go. Not that Victor Valdez is bad. I'm not going to. He is a great, 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 great goal. But we didn't get rid of Van de Sar. I'm like, how are we going to replace Van de Sar? He was like one in a million. And here he comes along. Okay, yeah. Gabby De Gea, okay. I hope he, you know, turns it around. And man, is he ever. He's won a couple games for him. If it wasn't for his goalie skills, we, you know. I mean, pretty soon it's going to be, luckily I don't think Van de Gaal can move Manchester United to Spain, because he probably would. Yeah, I know he's a Spaniard and he wants to get some Spanish players, but come on. You got the best goalie. What are you doing trying to get rid of him? Some of the players that he wants to get rid of, I understand. They can't hold their own on the pitch. They can't You know, if you can't be a striker, you know, if you can't hold your own on the pitch, you know, get someone in there that can. Yeah, you were decent. Hopefully you'd improve. You really haven't. You've gotten better, but not good enough, you know. Wolverhampton Wonders, we got a player for you. Yeah, there you go. Give them to the Wolves or Leicester. Yeah, you know. But I'm telling you, why you would get rid of one of your best? And it's just, and the fans are infuriated. They're like, what the? I mean, at least he's going to, at least if he does get replaced, he's getting replaced with a very good goal. You know, Valdez, Victor Valdez is incredible. He's not as good as Gabby De Gea, but he's still, and he's still one of the best. You know, he's in my top five of goalies. So, you know, I'm not, I'm going to be mad, but at least he's replacing him with someone that's very, 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 very good. And Valdez, his first manager was Senegal. So they do have history. And he knows how to, and they got to get some players in there because they don't. They have players that are understanding Van Gaal's concepts and philosophies, but not enough. They don't have the couple people are not. You got to get to the point. Like if you're going to the rim, you spin it, the ball behind your back, and the guy's right there without even saying a word. I'm gonna switch gears just a little bit, and this will make a lot of sense. Basketball is huge where I am. And there's a guy at work, Giuseppe, that's one of the Unit 9 people that's helping us out in the kitchen. You know, he's like a front of house type person. He's like, man, I want to go see that. I need to go see the Pacers sometime. I'm like, well, I said, if you want to go, man, stay an extra day. If my girl don't come up Sunday, we'll get tickets. I'll take you. And, you know, because basketball is huge here. And if you ever saw the movie Hoosiers, it's a anonymous film. And it's based off of Mile and High basketball team that was from Ripley County that had no – they basically made it to the state championship and won it. And they took on the Marion Giants. And what happened is there was this coach, and he's like, man, you need to go check out this little – school in Milan High in Ripley County. They got some great players, and this coach went there, and you know, he didn't even have to say a lot. He had to raise his voice, and they knew what he meant. That's how Van de Gaal is. He didn't have to yell, and you know he means business. And when they made the movie, they said, okay, everything's done. Okay, now we're gonna. This is Indiana. They're gonna love us. And they set up a date, and you know. At Butler Fieldhouse, and they said, okay. I'm like, you know, like hardly anyone showed up. I'm like, what are we going to do? You know, at least if we have like 2,000 people, we could, or 1,000 people, we can maneuver them around and film stuff and make it look like it's sold out. And they said, why don't you get the two best basketball teams in Indiana to play a game there, and we'll film in the intermission. And that's what they ended up doing. And if you ever see the very end of the movie where Jimmy Chitwood makes that shot, he wasn't making them at all. And I think we need to have him move up. And they said, no, I want him to shoot from where Jimmy shot. Exactly. He said, I really think we need to move him up. He can't make the shot. He's not doing it. And they said, no, we're going to move him back. We want him to shoot from where Jimmy Chitwood actually made the shot. And when they filmed it, the take you see in the film is the first take they did and the one they used. The first take was the one they used. And what they didn't realize is when he made the shot, he goes, holy bleep and bleep the bleep. I never told him what to do after he made the shot. Everything you see after he makes that shot with the fans coming under to the basketball court and him jumping up like that with his feet and all that, that's all unscripted. That shows you how ingrained in our brains what we would do if we won the basketball, you know, like what we would do. And I think, you know, that's, we don't, at Manchester United, we need to get players that, you know, that, okay, that have that mentality that, no, okay, in this instance, you know, because they all kind of did the same type of thing. And they were all on the same page without really knowing it. And that's what you need to be. You need to be able to pass the ball with to where, like, okay, to where you're not saying anything to me, you're not talking to me, you just pass the ball, and I know that when I'm here, you're going to pass the ball. And that's what's got to happen, you know? You know, like the basketball players. And you need to be able to pass the ball to the guy and have him go to the rim without even saying a word. I'm just going to run up to the basket like I'm going to block for somebody, and then you pass me the ball without saying a word, and I know what the ball is going to be. And that's what's going to happen. And that's not what's there right now. You have some players that just aren't cutting the weight, and they need to go, and I understand that. But bringing in Victor Valdez, when you got the best goalie, that's the thing I don't understand. And if someone wants to explain that to me, you know, go on my Facebook page, Kyle's Conversations, and say, this is why he's doing it. I can understand because they're both Spaniards. And they can both, como se dice, but other than that, I don't know. I just don't. Granted, his plans don't work right. They just work. You know, I guess it was, what is it? I am the way and the truth and the light, and no one can get to the Father except through me. Isn't, weren't they talking about Jesus, not Van Gaal? You know? I'm just saying. I don't know. I think, if they ended up with a Premier League title next year and a Champions League title next year, I think if they got Victor Valdez, no one would complain if they switched. I don't know. Enough of that, man, because it's just... Now off to the deflated story. Who really cares about deflated football? Okay, if you're not going to really punish anybody, if that's technically illegal and they technically did deflate the balls and they technically were cheating and they're still going to be able to be in the Super Bowl, then I'm done. I'm seriously. You know, they were basically caught spying on a team, figuring out what their signals were. Really? And they just get a slap on the wrist. What do you think Pete Carroll's in the NFL? He couldn't do what he was doing in the college ranks, okay? Due to the sanctions imposed on USC, they're going to have to give back their national championships. They're going to have to give back the Heisman trophies. And, okay, well, look at what Bill Belichick did. He got away with it. Look what Belichick got away with. Belichick got away with all this stuff. Why not? I'll do it. I'll join you because I'll cheat too. Because they're not going to do anything to you anyways. Who cares if it's 75-3? If you cheat, you cheat. It's not a function of, well, if it was a closer game. No. You cheat, you cheat. I'm gonna see if you can actually write him. Because I'll say, well, if you're going to allow... New England to be in the Super Bowl because now I'm done with the NFL. If you're going to allow someone to cheat and get away with it, then that's, I don't care what, I don't care if it's 75 to 125 to nothing. Then I'd be wondering, how did that team make it to that point to play the other team? You know, how did they get that far? But, you know, you cheat, you cheat. And like I tell people, remember, if you cheat, you never really win. The only person you're cheating is yourself. I just don't get it, you know. They must be learning from the government, you know, because we can't torture the terrorists. Nope, can't. No, you can't. Yes, the terrorist said, ouch, you gotta stop, okay? Come on, now you can't hurt the terrorist. Come on. Well, really? Okay, I saw a guy upside down jumping out of the Twin Towers. But I can't torture this dude to get information? Wrong. Too bad. I mean, if I was president and they said, we get waterboarding, yes, I was. I support it 100%, 1,000,000%. I'm not gonna try to. It's sort of like when, because I used to love Don Imus, and then when he apologized, okay, I don't know if those ladies were hoes, but they were nappy-headed, you know, or whatever. You know, if you think something, where do we lose freedom of speech in this country? You know, if you don't like ISIS and you want to say something negative about ISIS, why can't you? Yeah, you may be on the, you may have a target on your back, but you know what? So what? You know, I would rather die with my freedoms intact than be mouth shut and live. That's just me. You know, it's just me, you know. You want to have all things free? Go to North Korea, because they have everything free. And it'll be in a concentration camp unless you're born into a wealthy family. You know, like someone that has, like fought for North Korea or something. You know, if you take and you show that you beheaded an American or something, you might get, you know, something happen. I don't know. I think it's the one basketball player that's over there. I guess he was trying to make good relations. Well, you ain't gonna make good relations with a country that they practice and they teach their kids since birth that we're like infidels and we need to be taken down and all this crap. So, anyways, got about 16 minutes left in the program. And it is. Cheaters never win. Anyways, now we're going to move on to the thing that just happened this past week. The announcement of plans for a 50th anniversary reunion of the Grateful Dead. And it'll be almost 20 years to the day that the Dead played their final show at Soldier's Field on 7/9/95. And in 2002, I think it was, I met a guy that had an extra ticket and I had a way up there, but nope, didn't happen. We didn't know each other at the time, so I ended up not being able to go. I was an indie with the Gatecrashers. They suck. You know, it was a bad entity that came into, because not many people that are deadheads, that aren't deadheads, really realize what happened in 87, 88, when Touch of Grey came out. The Dead had been popular for years underground, but they became also like mainstream, like popular because that song, and the second entity came in, basically, and then that didn't respect authority, and you can't tell me what to do, and da-da-da-da, and it just got to be, and it would have been, if Jerry would have lived, it would have been like Fish, where they would have had to stop touring to try to calm the crowds down and get, okay, if you don't got a ticket, don't come. Don't come. You know, you have no obligation to the venue, the band, or anything if you're just there. Like in Highgate, Vermont, 94, it's a free show. I mean, 95, free show, too. No, it's not a free show. You made a free show because you freaking idiots were being jackasses and didn't know how to, seriously, didn't know how to behave. and they had to open up the gates for safety's sake. And it's like, you know what? If I don't got a ticket, I'm not coming. I'll see the next show or the next show. There are tons of tickets on the side of the fence. No one, you couldn't give them away because, you know, it's like, and then a bunch of these people are like, you know, man, you always expect more from the closer, man. And like, those guys too are 24/7, 365, and people complain. I mean, like, this one guy said it best, you know, with this reunion thing. They could do 1,000 shows. Every show is free. Free beer. Free food. And, well, they're not coming to Europe. And people are bitch. Everyone's like, man, why Trey, man? Why are they taking Trey, man? And come on, man. Trey, are you kidding me? You know, where's Kelly Williams? And where's, like, you know, come on. You know. Warren Hayes, why not him? Trey, are you kidding me, man? Fish said. You don't have to go. They don't owe us anything, folks. They're doing this out of the greatness of their hearts. It's not cheap, but they're, you know, Bob Weir has some miles left in him. How many, we don't know, but most of them, they're up there in age. This is not a, okay, it's been 35 years since the band's been back together. No, they've been touring off and on for 50 years, whether it's in the Jerry Garcia Band, or it's in Phil Lash and Friends, or Rat Dog, or Further, or other ones, or The Dead, whatever. They've been touring this whole time. You know, they're getting up there in age, folks. Let them have one last hurrah and go out with a bang. I don't expect them to play anymore, and if they do, that's great. If not, you know, so what? I got to see Jerry north of 100 times, and it was just, you can't put a price on those memories. You can't put a. It's one of those things that, you know, put on Box of Rain and Touch of Grey, and listen to the lyrics. And just, or Ripple, you know. There is a road, no simple highway, you know. I mean, Ripple is just an incredible, incredible, incredible song. It's an incredible, I mean, it is. It's an incredible, I mean, just some of the words and things that they have, and I mean, it just, their music spoke to a generation, and you gotta understand, you gotta understand, you would call a hotline. There's actually somebody, I don't know how they did this, and I was just had some flashbacks and shares in my head, but they had a thing back in the day where you called the hotline. Thank you for calling the Grateful Dead hotline. The spring 1990 tour for the Grateful Dead is all sold out. Please do not send in any more ticket request forms. The Grateful Dead will be playing at Mile High Arena in San Jose, California. There is no sleeping in cars, no camping or vending allowed. There are plenty campgrounds around the city for your camping enjoyment. Also, the Jerry Garcia Band will be playing at the Greek Theater in Berkeley, California on July 6th. Those tickets pre-order sale is on this, and you get mail in with an envelope, with an address stamp, and with money orders. And it was all like underground. But look at the following they had. You know, because the music spoke to a generation. You know, there is the road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. You know, reach out your hand. if your cup is empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. That's a goosebump lyric right there. But it spoke to a generation, and they're like, no, they didn't ban tape in the shows. They had inspections so that tape heads could get better quality sound. They didn't play cookie cutter 90 minute sets. That's lasted 3 and 4 hours. And they played off and on each other. And they wanted you to be a part of the band and part of the experience. And we're not owed anything. We're not owed anything. It's great that they're doing this. You know? And next they have a video up, and the video's hilarious. Look up GDTS2 ordering information on YouTube, and has a guy taking like a VHS cassette and trying to plug a USB thing into it and put it in his phone and all this, and it has like Jurassic Park thing, opens up the box and it's a VCR. Oh, it's great. Oh, because it's amazing. I actually had one of their albums and had a Beatles one I got. And I brought it to work, and this person's like, what's that? I'm like, it's a record. What's a record? It's like a giant CD. Oh, okay. A big CD. CDs are small. This is an old school way of listening to music. The sound is better. The quality is better. The only thing I wouldn't like is because they did the Chucking Up the Buffalo on record. And it's like 5 records. And it's like, you know, I want to hear the show from beginning to end. I don't want to have to stop and flip the record over. It'd be kind of neat to have just to put like in a decoration. Yeah, but then why spend money if I'm not going to listen to it? You know, like the records, at least the original records that they'd had, you know, they put out on record, the albums on record. It's kind of neat because it's just a record and you can just flip it over and you're not trying to hear a 3-hour concert on like 5 records. But it's neat. I was having a great day. Got my envelope mailed in and decorated. It's going to be the end of our honeymoon. And a good friend, Tammy Stoltz, me and my girl are going to go to the first show by ourselves. So we can have one night alone. And Tammy Stoltz, a really, really, really good friend of ours, she's going to come and join the rest of the final 2 shows. And then we're going to get a ride back. That's if I get the tickets. I should. I put in for seats are up in the rafters, so at Soldier's Field, so we should get them. It'll be a good time. My girl likes live music, and it'll be the closest thing she'll be able to have to experiencing what it was like to see Jerry. And 5 minutes left, and I just, you know, and all these people complaining and bitching and bickering. I'm like, they don't owe us anything, folks. They're doing this. You know? Well, why Trey? Why this? I mean, if they're going to do everything retro, they might as well do retro pricing. Because I never paid more than $29 to see Jerry. No, but you think about it, though. Like, if you were to get the $199 jobbies, which are $215 with the fees, the $16 fee, imagine that times 3 times 6. So a lot of money. And they have, the one thing good though is they have updated the site, because some people are like, well, the way it sounds, I can only get tickets to Ticketmaster for like disability spots, like wheelchair stuff. And they've updated it that, yeah, they do have. But I think like the open pit where it's standing room only, general admission, I think that section, a lot of that is for like, already been sold for like the 3-day packages. We get a hotel room and everything. And at first I thought those were expensive, but when you figure, okay, let's say you get $199 section and you get like one of the front rows in there, and you get $199 times, well, it's $215 times 6 for 2 tickets for 3 shows, then a hotel, and then transportation back and forth and food and all that stuff, you know. It's not that it adds up, but when you think we're looking at going to Scotland with Leslie Miller and Helen Drain in 2016, and that's actually, wow, like $2,000, and we're going to Scotland. That's, you could spend $2,000 going to this Grateful Dead show. You know, so that's why I got like the seats in the rafters, because like I was telling the guy that was getting the money or something, like, you know, and stuff at the bank, I was getting the money. And he's like, well, I said, you know, as long as you're in the venue, you can hear it. Who cares? And I said, I went to go see Smashing Pumpkins at Elliott Hall of Music at Purdue University, and they actually lowered the orchestra pit, and I was front row orchestra pit, and I was basically a foot away. I was basically getting spit on by Billy Corgan. You know, he was a foot away from me the whole show. The sound sucked. It was horrible. The only time I really got the music was when the drummer got off his drum set, hit the button, it goes, dum, ching, dum, ching, dum, dum, ching, dum, ching, dum, ching. And they all came out with acoustic guitars, and they did 1979, and like, Tonight, Tonight, acoustically. And I'm like, yeah. And they were like, you know, they're telling us to get down and all this. I'm like, I showed the piece of paper. This is what we can't do, or else we'll get thrown out of here. Because if you're not from this area, Stone Temple Pilots 97 came, and they lowered the orchestra pit, made it a mosh pit, and all kinds of, it was bad. Well, Scott Warren was so coked up and so messed up, he's so gone. Come on down. And me and my sister are like the only, there's like four of us, me and my sister, and like four of the people up on the second balcony, all to ourselves. We went to the very center of the front row of the balcony and just had a great time. You know, they did like $8,000, getting famous, the seats and all that stuff, and they wrote a check and everything like right there. So it's one of those things that makes you, you know, and they did safety precautions. That's why they, now with some of those bands, they lowered the orchestra pit and they put seating in there. And, you know, not now when I go to a place, I'm like, where's the best sound? Like, I'm at a dude, it's amazing, like, we sat practically probably right near each other with, like, four seats away at, like, some dead shit. Got about 90 seconds left, and this is funny, because he's like, man, I was on the, like, the second ring. I was up on the second level, and I was out where we were, and he went around to the back of the stage. You couldn't see anything, but he goes, the sound was incredible. And, you know, when you're going to a show, I look for the sound. Who cares where I sit? I want to hear the sound. That's what I'm going for. 60 seconds left, and it's going to be great to get married and see the dead and all that and do a bunch of stuff. It's just hard to believe how quickly your life can change, you know? And that's why I tell people, I start out kind of showing, you know, enjoy life. Tell people, Melissa, I love you, dear. Larry, I love you, man. And to all my fans out there, thank you so much for tuning in. Your hour's not wasted. I just hope you wake up and say, you know what? I'm not going to shake my fist at heaven and say, God, why don't you do something? He created you. Martin Luther King wasn't a politician. And he changed the world. And until next week, God bless you all. Thank you, and have a great day. Take care, folks. From Lafayette, goodbye.